levantaré mi bandera, alzando mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. Yo levantaré mi bandera, wow.
Levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera, porque para mí, mira, no existen fronteras. No, no, Y es que hay mucho sentimiento, lo grito al viento, de ser latino nunca me arrepiento.
Everybody, and welcome to a very special edition of the Latin Babbler Show. I am your host, Rafael, the Latin Babbler, and I am joined with the crew. Ms. Rocky is in the house. We got Juan Ayala, who is a part of Al Arte Nate and the Actors with Issues podcast. And our guest today is back for round two. I don't know why she would do that, but she decided to. And in case you've been living under a rock, she's the voice actress. She's a singer. She's a songwriter. Her work spans from the big screen all the way to Madison Square Garden, performing with such acts as Pitbull, Flo Rida, Snoop Dogg, Daddy Yankee, Miss Elliott. And, of course, she plays Dolores in Disney's blockbuster hit Encanto, which is now featured on the billboards, topping all kinds of charts with We Don't Talk About Bruno. Adassa, once again, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been an incredible ride. I mean, nobody at Disney, I think nobody of the cast we ever expected to be 5 weeks on the top 100, 7 times on the top 200 charts. It's broken every single record. Like, We Don't Talk About Bruno, Encanto, it's surpassed anybody's wildest expectations, dreams, and broken every record Disney ever had. So I'm just glad to be part of this history.
I got to say something because, you know, a lot of people don't know that we talk like very seldom off air. And when we had you on the first time, and this is going to be like my emotional moment of the interview, mentioned how she had a really good time. And, you know, she had actually listened to the show before we even invited her on. And she had actually extended to say, hey, if you need anything, let me know. I'll go ahead and answer whatever it is that you guys need. And I love it because you've been true to that. And every single time that I have reached out to you and have asked you for advice on something or have asked you for how do I do this or what's the best way to do that, you have always been there. And so from our team to you, just an amazing and special thank you for, you know, the huge support that you have provided us and my knuckleheaded self. So you can tell she's on the run. I'll be like, Adassa, how do I do this? She's like, you got to do this. Like, stop. Okay. I'm like, okay, I'll try.
You know what? You ask. And that's wonderful. So many people wish they could just help, you know, but they were never asked. And I appreciate the fact that you do ask. And para eso somos los latinos, you know, it's like, hey, you got some sugar? No, but I got some beef. You want to come over? Está bien. Traigo los plátanos. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
We make a lunch. That's how it's supposed to be. You know?
El arroz.
Si en alguna manera yo puedo ayudar, you never know. One day I'm going to be like, hey, Rafael, I need this favor now.
Yo, you know? And we are all in. We are all in. Like, you know, with Jessica, too, like when we interviewed, she's absolutely amazing. We loved her. She's busy now, incredibly busy. She just had a performance, which was really amazing. So, but let's go ahead and let's talk about Encanto, because it's kind of funny. You, when you came here last time, the discussion was, hey, people, go support this film. Like, why haven't so many people have gone to the movies to go support this film? And then, out of nowhere, it goes into Disney Plus, and then people see it, and then everybody starts like, wait, hold on a second. This kind of looks interesting. And then it becomes a TikTok sensation. Then all of a sudden, it starts going nuts. Then it grosses, what is it, $228 million worldwide from 84, which is what we were talking about when we first had the interview. That is like absolutely amazing. Like, what is your thoughts on that, on just even that part of it?
I feel that there are a lot of people out there that are really resonating with the story. And when it first came out, they were like, oh, it's another Disney film. It's like, no, it's not just another Disney film. This is where you get to like lay out all of those things you've been carrying, all that guilt, all of those feelings about your parents, and understanding finally happens. And you're just like, wow, you're having these epic moments in which you're really getting to know your family members, really asking the questions, asking about, hey, what's up with Bruno? You know, because we always have one in the family, that one person. No, we don't talk about Pedro. No, we don't talk about Marisela. So was that her sister or was that her mother? Dun, dun, dun. You know what I mean?
Right?
We have those stories, you know? And I think
in my family, it's babbler.
It's the babbler. And so I feel like a lot of people have really gravitated to the film, not just because it's a fun film that kids, you know, from 2 year old can enjoy, but, you know, you can see with your grandmother and then see her in a different light and understand things that she's gone through and experiences that she's been through that you may never, ever have to ever endure. But now you see things clearly through her eyes. And then regarding the song, man, TikTok just blew it out of the water. Like, people dressing up as the characters, doing cosplays, doing reenactments, you know, dances and all of it. It just has become this massive thing. So even though it came out in November, the fact is that we're like 1st of March and we have a number one for 5 weeks on a film that came out in November.
Yo, I got numbers. Awesome. I got numbers. And look, bear with me for everybody who's listening to this interview, because we're about to go probably go into like a big session here. So we don't talk about Bruno. Here we go. Number one in the Billboard Global's 200. Number one in the Billboard Hot 100 song charts. 6 songs from the soundtrack are currently in the top 100 list. 6 songs of that. All right. The album itself is the first soundtrack to hit number one since 2019. Largest group of credited artists to be on a number one Hot 100 history. Even took down Adele at one point. Okay, jeez. Beat out Frozen, which, I mean, we all knew that was going to happen because, you know, yes, somos Latinos. Absolutely. All right, the first number one song to beat out A Whole New World after 29 years from Aladdin. 34.9 million U.S. streamed just recently. We're not talking in total. This just happened like in 1 week. 1.5 million airways on the radio. That's the one that caught me because I was driving home one time and out of nowhere, it came on the radio. And I don't know if it's playing. Juan, is it playing in New York?
It is
playing. Oh, I listen to the radio.
I've been doing a lot of promo on radio. So it is playing right now in New York, in Cincinnati, Chicago, Detroit, Miami. I mean, we're talking multiple states in Nashville because I've been doing a lot of the radio side with them. Right, this week we're going to be hitting West Coast on all the radio stuff. So La Mega y todo eso. And it's been insane. They have us on their countdowns. The song is really taken off. And I think it's because it's not a kid's tune, really. It really appeals to the 18 and over crowd because it's a song about that person you don't talk about. It really is. It's not like we're singing about like butterflies and stuff. We're actually singing something deep in a really fun rhythmic way that people can relate to. And then all the characters are telling the story. But yeah, I felt like we were like in one of those, like, you know, rap songs where there's like, yeah, Little Jay. And you know, we got over here, you know what I mean? We got Camilo, shout out to Camilo. Like there's so many of us on this track.
DJ Huang in the building.
I know, right? Seriously.
To me, it just caught me off guard. Because I've gotten accustomed to streaming it like through my phone, you know, when you try to use the Apple Play and all kinds of stuff. So the one time I don't have the phone connected, it comes on this radio station that we're listening to. And my daughter's like, wait, are they playing that? I'm like, wait, is that mainstream radio that we're listening to? I'm like, we don't talk about Bruno. And I wake up singing the song. So for me, it's like, you know, in the house, we're just constantly doing that. Ms. Rocky, it's got to be like that over there. I mean, you got kids all over the place.
Oh yeah, my son's always singing. I think I even sent all that stuff, a little clip of my son singing and he knows it. Like, he's like, I want to be in Encanto too. I'm like, okay.
It's so funny at this point, my goodness, get ready, because honestly we all are so grateful and so thankful. I mean, it already won a Golden Globe, nominated for 3 Academy Awards. I mean, the Oscars,
amazing,
people. You know, for best animated film, Dos Oruguitas for best song, and of course, Jermaine Franco, who did the scoring of this amazing film. But to have 6 out of the 8 original songs that Lin-Manuel wrote, 6 of them are on the top 100s, right? My goodness, the man's a genius.
Yeah, and this year is such a big year for Latinas in general at the Oscars, because you have, you know, Lin-Manuel Miranda is nominated not just for this, but his other movie, Tick, Tick, Boom, also got nominated. West Side Story has, I think, 6 nominations total. You've got Ariana DeBose already. She just won the SAG Award. She won the Golden Globe. You know, like, it's such a huge year. This past year really has been amazing. It's like, what's your reaction to that, to just seeing all of this success coming out for Latinos?
I really feel that it was a long time coming. You know, the fact that we all get to be alive in the moment in time in which all the doors are open, we're finally seeing the representation accurately done in such a beautiful, tasteful, modern, only Disney can do it way. To see films like Tick, Tick, Boom honoring the talents of Latinos in such an incredible way, and all of what's happening, it's just like, I still can't believe it's real. You know, I wish my grandmother was alive right now to be able to see the progress. You know, she was una morena, Afro-Latina, that she wanted to be a singer, you know, when she was growing up in Colombia. It was impossible for her. My mom tried to do it as well. She got as far as being part of a group, you know, and play the guitar, but it just never went to that next level for her. And I felt like it was my duty to be able to do the best that I could with all of their sacrifices that they made, you know, being a daughter of immigrant parents that had to come here to this country with nothing and help raise us here in this place that they knew no one. And one by one, my dad brought his sisters from Colombia, brought his mother from Colombia with hard work, cleaning windows, washing floors, doing whatever it took. And so to me, be able to stand here and say, I'm part of this, and it's because of the efforts of my father. It was because of the sacrifices of my mother. It was because, unfortunately, my grandmother had to go through such pains. And now I get to say, look at this. Look at how far we've come. I wish my grandmother was alive to be able to bask in the greatness of seeing so many Latinos being honored and represented now, you know, something that was only a dream when she was around.
And I got to talk about Lynn for a second when we were talking about representation. And it's because, well, I got to throw some salt in some people's wounds. So for those of you on Twitter who were sitting there ragging on this man while he was doing In the Heights, and we're having zero idea that he was actually working on this project while we were doing that, you got to look really foolish. Because what turned from I wasn't represented to now you're seeing Instagram pictures of little kids looking at the screen, having somebody who looks exactly like them. And I mean exactly. I'm not talking about like, oh, they're just the same color. No, no, no. The hair, the physique, the look of the face. And I just got to say, look, like even Cecilia, who she's our content media manager. She was like, say, we got to protect this man at all costs.
Right.
Because it doesn't matter where he is. He has put this beacon on his back to represent the community in a way that a lot of people are not striving. So I think that, you know, he deserves any honor. And I honestly think he should have won more awards than he's being nominated for, because he's done just so much. And so, you know, for me, I think the representation conversation, you got to pretty much put it to a close at this point when it comes to this man. I don't even know how you continue that.
I think you are absolutely on it, honestly. When it happened, and I was already part of the Encanto ball rolling when, you know, everything hit the fan. He took it with such grace, because he's not a kind of person to be like, whoa, wait, let me tell you what I'm doing so you understand where I'm coming from. It's like, no, he was like, I understand what I did. He took the hit. And people came out to defend him, and they took the hit. You know what I mean? But to me, the guy has done more for Latinos than anybody else that I know. He's done things that people, imagine him going, all right, I'm going to do a Broadway show about Anthony Hamilton, but I'm going to have most of the people, almost everybody's going to be African-American or Latinos.
Yeah.
You want in? What was that? Like, you know what I mean? Or I'm going to tell a story about Latinos living in, you know, en su calle. And I'm going to call it In the Heights. And it's going to be a whole bunch of Latinos that are going to be dancing and singing and whatever. We're going to do it in English, but with Latin music. That's what's up. And he's betting it all. And so to me, he started this conga line of it's time for this to happen. He broke so many barriers. And he himself has been so gracious at taking the punches when he's the only one out there trying so hard.
That's my thing.
Represent us. That was the thing for me. It was like, look, the man cannot do it alone. And if people put him down for being the only one that's trying out there, then what would that seem to the public? That there is no support within our own community for those who are trying and striving to feel represented and for everybody to have a chance at the mic. So that was, to me, was very concerning, because I'm like, wow, so finally somebody's doing something and it's still not enough. It's like, man, you know what? If more people jump into the ship, if more people saw that the content is wanted, that this kind of representation is needed, that the films and the productions coming out with Latinos, with more people being inclusive of our diversity within our own Latino culture, is being accepted and revered and wanted and desired, then more people, more networks, more companies will be like, I'm going to bet on the Latinos too. I want to do a Latino film. I want to do a Latino animation. I want to do a live action. I want to do another Broadway show with Latinos, because I see that the community is asking for it. But when you started seeing all that hate and all that, oh, he didn't do enough, or there was oversight, man, he can't do it all. Right. He's one man.
He's one person.
But we are many. We are so many in this country. So if we get behind him, we stand behind him. And if you notice, it's not just that he chose animated characters that looked morenos or Afro-Latinos or whatever. It's the people behind the animations. Mm-hmm. We're the same. You're looking at Dolores, you're looking at me. You're looking at Felix. That's literally what he looks like.
It is.
Castillo. That's him. Well, he's a lot more fit, I would say, than Felix. A little taller. But that's about the only difference.
It was pretty close, though.
It was pretty dang close. It is really close.
Incredible.
Yeah, it's...
I mean, I don't know how you do it all. You know, you've been here, you've been there. Now, from music to movies, family life. Like, you know, we really enjoy watching Encanto and everything that's going on with it. We're very, very proud of you here from the Latin Babbler Show.
Thank you. Well, the Latin Babbler Show, you guys have all been so supportive. And the main thing is that I learned very later in the first part of my career that saying yes to everything doesn't get you a better life. Because for us that are in the entertainment business, we love what we do. And if there's money that can be made, so bring it. But we just can't help doing what we do, talking to people, you know, sharing our thoughts, learning from others. But I did have to understand that when you also want your cake and eat it too, there are things you need to learn to say no to. Mm-hmm. So by me saying, yes, I'm going to do that show, I'm saying, no, I'm not going to spend time with my kids.
Mm. Yeah.
So for every yes, there is a no that goes along with it. Not every yes is a yes and a yes that gives a yes. It's that yes, I'm going to do that, which means I'm not going to do the other. So I've had to learn to balance my yeses and my other yeses, because I don't see it as yes and no. Oh, I don't get to go make, you know, this show in front of 60,000 people and make all this money because I have to go and stay with my kids so I could watch them do their play or to watch them do their choir rehearsal. No, I get to spend that time with my kids. And I get the honor of being their present so they know their mother loves them. And then I get to be in front of 60,000 people in Canada. You know what I'm saying? So I learned that not every question is going to get a yes, but which are the yeses that I want to make sure they dominate my life. Right. And the reason why I do music and why I am passionate about projects like Encanto is because they're leaving a legacy for my children. They're seeing, wow, mom never gave up on her dreams, yet she was always there on my birthday. Yep. And she was there during Christmas. But during that Christmas and that birthday, I'm not doing this other thing, but it's because I understand who I'm doing it for. Right. I want to show my kids that you can work towards your goals. And if you decide to be a mom, to be a dad, that doesn't cut your dreams short. It makes you smarter and work wiser. Right. So every yes can be a yes in different directions, and don't see it as like my kids are my anchor and that they're going to drown me. It's more like my kids are the anchor that are going to make my kite fly higher. And that's who they are to me. They're the reason why I get to fly high. They're the reason I am so excited about projects like Encanto and sharing things with you here at the Latin Babbler Show, seeing other Latinos so passionate about what they do. So when I'm going, yeah, I'm going to be up at dinner just the 30 minutes later for my next interview, because I want to talk to these amazing people who are making a difference in other Latinos' lives too.
Thank you.
I mean, just basically me, all these other guys, they don't do much.
We don't matter.
So they don't, they're just,
we're just puppets. We just do what he says.
They come in sometimes and, you know, so no, actually, you know, these are my brothers and sisters. Like, I think with the amount of time that we spend together at this point, like,
I talked to Babbler more than I talked to my own dad. Like, it's that.
Yo, that, you know what? That is very true. We talk a lot. Like, a lot. Texting. Like, I probably bother him way too much.
Not at all.
So but it's actually, to me, it's actually like really cool. I'm actually curious as to, because when we were talking before, it's nothing like it is now. Like, I mean, you're going to like comic shows, you're signing all kinds of different things, and like the radio show, I did notice, because, and by the way, thank you for the shout outs, because every single time I get on to like support what the interview that she's in, I'm over here like, hi, and she's like, oh, hi, I see you for the Lab Babble show. So it's just it's really cool. Like, I don't know, for me it's like cool. So, you know, for anybody else, they're probably like, what is wrong with you? For me, I'm extremely humble that somebody would even take the time to do that. But what is like life like? Is it now like super hectic compared to what it was like before when you were doing the music? Is it different, or is it just as like chaotic, so to speak, with the schedule?
It's different because just the balance of more shows out of my home than I was doing before. I was doing a lot more TV and film music, so it kept me home more. But that's where the balance comes in. You know, I do spend... my husband and I have always committed to not spending more than 3 weekends out of the home. And that means that I'm home with my kids Mondays through Thursdays doing all the things that moms do. Like, I take them to school, or we do homework, or I go take them to dance class. We spend time together doing everything they want to do, including watching lots of Encanto.
Yeah.
Tell you, they can watch it on repeat. And they all know so many of the songs. So that's their time. I'm there for them. And when I need to do an interview, they understand, you know, and I usually do it when they're in school, so they don't even notice I'm even working. Yeah. So they get home and it's like, oh, what's mom doing? She's got makeup on. Oh, that's cool. You know, that's about it. But yes, I prioritize that. And we take 1 week off every month, no matter what's going on, which is just for them and doing whatever they like. We take our family vacations, which are sacred for us, and certain dates like Christmases and their birthdays, that we don't travel unless we're traveling somewhere they want to go, and then they come with us. Yeah. So like, we have a Comic-Con happening the same weekend. They offered me and I was turning it down. And then my daughter was like,
why?
Well, what if I said I want Comic-Con for my birthday? I've never been to a Comic-Con. And I was like, you want to go? She was like, yes, I want to go. So she's coming to Washington.
All right. So Adassa, like, you have basically now, you're doing music again, right?
Yes.
So when's it coming out? Like, I know you're working on something, because I hear it in the ruffles. People are talking. All right. There's some Mexican, I believe, some Mexican sounds coming through that I hear. That could be.
Yes. We have two records coming. Well, two albums, not records. Full albums. One is with CHR and our label Sky Urbano, which is Tejano Internacional, which incidentally enough, I had the song Ni Un Beso going #1 on the Tejano Gold charts at the same time as We Don't Talk About Bruno. So it was really sweet, you know, to have both of those songs on there. And then with Warner Chappell Production Music, we have an album that is more Latin American. So the Tejano record is like 90% Spanish, 10% English. And the American record is 90% English, 10% Spanish. So it's nice. And then one song that I'm so excited about that we just finished literally recording today was Dos Oruguitas, because I did my own Dolores version of the song. I love that song from Encanto. Like, it brings me to tears, and it honestly made me understand my grandmother in such a deep way, because like the story of the song says, you know, it's these two beautiful caterpillars, you know, dreaming about life and going along their way, being so in love. And then the moment comes where they have to evolve, they have to change, and change is hard, and they don't want to accept it, which is part of what happens in the story of Encanto. Grandma shunned her own son, Bruno, because she didn't want to accept that there was this vision that could completely tear apart everything she knew as reality. But just like a chrysalis of about an oruguita, of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly, it needs to happen. You know, something needs to break and be reborn to become what it needs to be. And in this story, it's so beautiful how at first the blame goes around. You know, there's no real nemesis or, you know, bad guy in the film, but there's a lot of animosities and misunderstandings because grandma never really told her story. They just knew grandma died, or, you know, and then we have this magic candle, but we didn't really talk about it. We don't really talk about Bruno. And so many things we don't talk about that make it become so, I would say, a little bit more distracting in regards to making that bonding relationship within a family unit, you know? So everybody becomes more reserved, and when she finally breaks down to tell the story, which is said without words but with song, and you see all these beautiful graphics going on about what she had to endure, and then Mirabel finally understands. Grandma doesn't hate you. She loves her whole family so much. She forgot along the way that the miracle was not the magic they had. It was, the miracle was each one of them. And she had put the magic and controlling everything to be just so, and the way that she had seen it, and everybody being protected and everything being fine and nothing breaking down, and everything had to be the way that she saw it needed to be. And then when everything broke down, even the townspeople had to stop being lazy because they were just like, hey, the donkey's got out again. You know, go get the donkey then. You saw the donkey. No, right? So at the end, I love it how the last song that says, we have no gifts, but we are many, and we'll do anything for you. Finally, all the town people come together. They come together with no gifts, but just with a good heart. And so the rebuilding happens through the song, Dos Oruguitas. And I was just like, I need to make my own version of it. And so my husband, Gabriel Candiani, worked with his musicians in Colombia, and we came out with like a real vallenato version of Dos Oruguitas. So we're so excited.
I'm so excited to hear that. Oh, my God.
we'll be so posting cool. it also on Adasa Official on our TikTok and on our YouTube page.
Adasa, I'm curious, you know, so Encanto was like your first film role. What you'd done before that primarily was music. That's what the majority of your career has been. I'm curious if there's any other type of acting that you want to do. Are you looking to like dip your toes in TV, film, do more animated songwriting for film? I'm sure, you know, if they do an Encanto too, maybe they'll need another songwriter. So who knows? But what do you want to sort of dabble in next?
You know, I would be such an honor to even be in the same room as Lin-Manuel Miranda and aportar unas palabritas ahí. He's such an incredible songwriter, honestly. He really is. So I have other projects on the table right now, and I'm so excited for them. Unfortunately, I can't mention what they are. I'm not so much interested on the live side. I love animation because in animation, you can have the freedom of becoming and doing and just being anywhere in the world and being anything and just being in that moment, and that freedom that you get is so lovely. And I know that I would love it. Like some people were talking about maybe doing a Broadway version of Encanto. It's totally doable because it is
right up your alley.
That would be great. I don't know if I could do Broadway. Honestly, I have such respect for everybody who does Broadway. I really do. I think I would be like, okay, I'll do a couple of nights. Hello, goodbye.
They do got rigorous schedules, though. Yeah. I mean, they do like shows in the morning, and then they got shows in like nighttime, and then they do that like all week. Like that schedule is just ridiculous. Yes. It's insane.
Yeah, for an artist, man, te sube ahí Friday night, you do a 45-minute set, you're done. Yeah. You know what I mean? But for them, it's like 3 shows a night. Every show is 2 hours. You know what I mean? And all of these lines and everything is live. So you can't mess up. And it's not like you can be like, and the people say, you know what I mean? You know, you can't turn the mic over.
You know, that was,
como dice la mujer.
That was my biggest thing with when Lin was up for those awards for Hamilton. And a lot of people didn't get that. It's a lot harder to be up there on a stage than it is to be inside a studio where you have so many chances to get it right, to perfect it.
Yeah.
Broadway actors or theater actors, they don't have that possibility. I mean, they got to get it right that moment. Like they don't have a choice. You either get it or you don't get it. Like it's that bad.
Exactly. It's that one moment and you have that exact, and everything has to hit. Like if you saw Hamilton on Disney Plus, it's absolutely phenomenal. Like my kids and I, we love watching it, especially when I have like a whole bunch of clothes that we're like folding together. Cause I love to do like the house tasks with them. And we just watch it and we play it. And I'm just like in awe of the sheer talent.
Oh, it was
and that
such
actually
good.
Was one of the songs that I auditioned with was one of the ones from Hamilton, which was so this is what it feels like to match with someone at the level. What the hell is the catch? It's the feeling of freedom of seeing the light. It's Ben Franklin with a key and a kite. You see it, right? The conversation lasted 2 minutes, maybe 3 minutes. Everything we said in total agreement. It's the dream and it's a bit of a dance. A bit of a posture. It's a bit of a stance. He's a bit of a flirt, but I'm going to give it a chance. That was the rap
oh,
I did.
Oh, look at that.
Audition. Yeah, so that was my callback. I was so excited with that.
That's crazy. I would have performed it a lot better, but we'll just go with what you just did, which is just it's okay. You know,
I'll learn from the babblers. Okay. He's giving me less.
Can you imagine?
I think I'm getting there.
I'll, you
getting
know, there. One day
I might just land this role, man.
I'll be on Encanto 2, the lost city of big guys. So that'll. They'll be sitting there searching for me. I'm blocking the sun and stuff. So just like that'll be part two. Juan, you're in it too. You know it. So I know I asked this the last interview, but if people wanted to find you, which is kind of a dumb question to ask at this point, if somebody wanted to find you on Instagram and on social media, where would they go?
Actually, new portals now have opened, which is so exciting. I'm on Cameo now, which is so much fun. I get to like have one-on-ones and do shout outs for parties and birthdays and just get to know people in a more like, I don't know, one-on-one basis, and, which is different. And I love to go on TikTok. So you can find me on TikTok at Adassa Official, also on Cameo, Adassa. And same on my handles on Twitter and YouTube, Adassa Official, Instagram as well. Adassa Official.
Official. So you got to catch it. So when your videos come out, do you know where to send them? I mean, it's not even debatable. Yeah. So.
You know.
We'll have it.
Spotify is Adassa Official too. Yeah.
No, but you got to send us the video, though. We can we'll advertise it everywhere. So we'll blast it. No, we'll blast it out there. No, and that's like I said, it's amazing to have you as, you know, a supporter of the show. We're very supportive of everything that you've done. It's a huge victory for representation. When you think about what Encanto means now to our community and what each of your individual characters have done to kind of have everybody relate to somebody, which is something that people couldn't do before. And when you think about just even saying that, it's how powerful that message is. It's actually really amazing. So Adassa, once again, thank you for joining us on the show. Always a pleasure. It's absolutely amazing.
Thank you so much for having me. And you know, everybody out there with a dream, just remember sometimes dreams may take a little longer to come true, but just keep the focus and enjoy the journey, because if you are enjoying the journey and you love what you do, then it's effortless and you'll just enjoy every single step towards reaching your goal.
Hey, look, that's one right there. Look, I never thought I'd ever do hosting. So there you go. Juan knows. Juan's been doing this forever. So, but like me, and I'm just kidding. He's like, no, I haven't. It's been like a year. So, but hey, guys, look, you know where to catch this interview. It's on YouTube. Subscribe to the link below. We are everywhere on social media at Latin Babbler Show. And we're on the website, the brand new website, www.latinbabbler.com. We will be having some surprises for you coming in the next month. We can't mention those now. But for me, for Juan, for Miss Rocky, and the amazing Adassa, we are out.
Desde Nicaragua hasta Costa Rica, con esta canción todo mundo se identifica. Llamen a los chilenos y a los cubanos, llamen a Puerto Rico y a los mexicanos, que ya se armó la rumba. Desde Panamá hasta Ecuador, vámonos a Perú y luego hasta Salvador. Que se escuche en Brasil y Argentina. Yo quiero un grito de mi gente latina y levantaré mi bandera, estando en mi país o estando allá afuera. Porque para mí mira noches en frontera. Levantaré mi bandera.